You're listening to the Bridgeway Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit bridgewaychurch.com.
I want to introduce to you guys who is our guest preacher today, John and Darcy Reiner. They were part of Bridgeway early days, 1995 through 2009. John was our college pastor. We had a college pastor back then for about 5 years. And 2 years as an elder, and then in 2009, we sent them out to Our Lord's Community Church, which is All Saints today. He served on staff there for a while, not sure how many years, and then moved to Frontline, where he is a leader at Frontline Church. And they are in the process now. He is helping to lead a team to plant a Frontline Church in Midwest City. And they're shooting for Easter Sunday to be their first official gathering. And so I told John earlier and mentioned it to another leader at Frontline this week that we want to partner with them in many ways, but primarily in this season of praying for them as they plant this church in Midwest City. So we'll be committed to praying for them and excited to see what God's going to do in that part of our city. After the scripture reading today, we have John Reiner. And I'm so happy to have my friend come and preach for us today. When I came to Bridgeway in 2003, John and Darcy were some of the first people that really showed me the love of God. Like, they weren't requiring anything of me. They weren't asking me to do something. They just simply loved me. And it was a time in my life that I needed to experience that, just to be loved by God, and they demonstrated that, and they showed that to me, and I'm forever grateful to you guys for that. So I know we're going to be blessed today as he comes and brings the word. So let's stand together, and Rachel will come and read our scripture text this morning.
Good morning, Bridgeway. Our scripture reading for today is Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May God bless the preaching of his word. You may be seated.
Thank you, Rachel. Well, good morning, Bridgeway. It's good to see everyone. I know some of you very well. I know a lot of you a little bit, and some of you I don't know at all, just brand new. But it is just an absolute joy and an honor. I feel, frankly, just deeply humbled to be able to be here this morning. This was my wife and I, our spiritual family, for 14 years. And if you've been in a good church for that length of time, you know the impact that a church family can bring. So thank you for the invitation. It's just wonderful to be here. Just to say to those of you who I do know really well, we've gotten really old. Some of you all, I mean, the gray is just coming out of some of you men. All of you ladies, though, look exactly the same as you did when I was here in 2000, 25 years ago. The exact same. There's no differences. You're just as beautiful as ever. But the guys, you need some work. So, amen. I heard an amen back there. That's interesting. Amen. Tom Ball shamed me earlier. He's 78. I'm just going to go ahead and shame him back. He's 78. Just let it sit there. He's 78. He goes to the gym 3 times more than I do. because he goes to the gym 3 times a week. Do the math. That's how often I go to the gym per week. 0. But hey, first things first, I do want to honor and a little bit embarrass my wife. Picture up here of our family. But this is Darcy Reiner. Go ahead and stand up. We've got to do this like pastor's wife thing, you know. Got to do that. So we met here. I want to share a little bit about that in a second. But if you look up here, again, at the risk of going too far down memory lane, these two, Alec and Joel, are 22 and 20. Last time you would have seen them, they would have been like running over around here dancing and wreaking havoc, right? They're still wreaking havoc, but it's just in different places. So on the right, that's Alec. He is a senior at the University of Arkansas. Quick story, went to a football game for first time I've ever been over to Fayetteville. It's beautiful. But 80,000 people all of a sudden started calling hogs, woo, pig, suey. I looked over at my wife and I said, our son has joined a cult. And we're paying for this thing. Like, what are we doing? So he graduates in 6 months. God be praised. The bills come to an end. And then Joel is a junior at Oklahoma State University. So there you go. I know I lost like half the room when I did that symbol right there, but I'll bring it back. I'll recover that. And my wife and I have been married 28 years. And as we were talking, praying, I've just been doing a whole lot of reflecting over the last week in preparation for today. And God has been doing some things in my heart. And I don't want to take a ton of time for this, but because, you know, the old guy comes back and tells stories for 30 minutes of the good old days. And, you know, that's not what I want to do. But I do want to share a little bit of my story, because I want to say thank you to Bridgeway Church now. And I think it's important that you hear some of these things that God did through this church, because I feel like even prophetically, it's part of the call and commission as you do the next 30 years of life together. You all took me in as a snot-nosed 20-something Yankee from Ohio who moved here with Jesus and my stuff, and I didn't know anybody. And you didn't kill me for being an Ohio State Buckeye fan. I just want to say that. Even when I watched the Ohio State Texas game over at Tom Ball's house and secretly put an Ohio State banner up on the front of his house as we're watching the game. That's called grace. And he didn't know it, and it was awesome. So Sooner fans, right? Sooner fans, there you go. There's my little shout out to you guys. But you guys continue to receive the stranger 20-something who's coming into your doors. You're called to spiritually father and mother the younger generation, the next generation. My wife and I met here, and if you're married, you know, getting married's the easy part. Staying married's the tough part. And I'm looking at spiritual fathers and mothers who kept us married. Like, we know if it weren't for God, we would not be married. And if we could tell your story, our story over coffee, you'd hear that in our voices. But God used the spiritual fathers and mothers of this place to walk us through our junk and pray for us through a season of infertility, a long season of infertility where there was suffering. And we sat on your couches and we cried and we struggled. Continue to care for and love on the next generation and do this, pray for miracles. Pray for miracles, because those two right there, we were told we couldn't have kids. Prophetic words and prayers and intercession and God gave us those two sons. There's two sons walking around this planet miraculously because of what God did through this church. It's a continued call and commission for this church. And ultimately, as Ryan said, you all sent me. And there's been a dozens of gospel goodbyes, you know, all to the glory of God with tears shed. But there are people you have won to Jesus, built in Jesus, and sent for Jesus, scattered all across the nations because of the work that the Holy Spirit has chosen to do. And I just want to bless you and say thank you on behalf of myself and my wife and my sons. It's an honor. It's humbling to be here. So thank you. Before we dive into the scriptures, I want to speak to you if you're here and you're not a Christian. Hey, it's a big deal that you came here this morning. Like, it's no accident. Thank you so much for, like, honoring us with your presence. I just want to encourage you, though I've been away from this church for 16 years, I know the reputation of this church, I know the people of this church, that this is a church you can bring your anger, your hurt, your frustrations, your confusion, your questions about Jesus and the church and the gospel and doctrine and all that. You can bring it, like, as it is in all of its mess and ugliness to the people here and to God here, and they'll help walk you through and talk to you about Jesus. Okay, so thank you so very, very much for being here if you're not a Christian. I want to pray for us before we get started, but you can turn in your Bibles actually to Psalm 146. Psalm 146 is where we're going to begin this morning. And pray with me. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit of God, I just want to, in my feeble and fickle and frail and flawed way and heart, I want to offer a request to you that you would fill our hearts this morning with your manifest presence. I was asked that the love of God and the truth of God and the power of God would be resplendent and diffused. God, I pray glory for you, max glory for you. All that you deserve. Jesus, receive the reward of your suffering this morning, even as your church gathers, not just here and across the city, but across the globe. We want to join with them in praise and glorying for you and you alone, because only you deserve glory and praise and credit. But we also want glory from you. We want to receive your presence this morning. You're here, you're near, and we don't want to miss you because we're just walking through the ritual or the routine or the thing we've done for years. God, arrest us, awaken us to your goodness. Yeah, your goodness. I pray especially your goodness, for your goodness. That the fruit of the Spirit of goodness would be felt today in our chests. So bless the preaching of your word, I ask this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, rewind with me, if you would, in your hearts and your memories, to the beginning of the summer, about 4 or 5 months ago, when our NBA team, the Oklahoma City Thunder, went on a playoff run for the ages. Feel it with me. Go there with me, right? Do you remember, do you see even some of the emotions that you felt, like the hope that they would win, right? The fear that they wouldn't win. How disappointed will I be? How depressed will I be if they don't take it? Because this is their year, man. Sorry, I went into like 18-year-old John right there. Man. Like hatred, right, for our mortal enemies. Teams named things like Nuggets and Wolves and Pacers. I'd never hated a Pacer before, but I hated the Pacers. Because I wanted our Thunder to win. But there was this like really unique, interesting dynamic that I noticed in the city that was, it was just fascinating to me. It was like wherever you went, there was this thing going on. Businesses, restaurants, strangers on streets. If I can use the word ubiquitous, it was everywhere. It was all over. It was this unstoppable current, reflexive thing that was happening. It's called two words. Two words were happening. Thunder praise. Thunder praise, right? Even if you're not a basketball fan, right? And you had to like live under a really large rock for 2.5 months to like miss that there was this just like, we wanted to talk about the Thunder. It was a wonder I got any work done at all in that season. It was just like, I was so fired up. I was so excited. Thunder praise was happening all over the place. My wife and I, we had this like crazy privilege to be at game seven. And yes, wow. It was the loudest place by far we'd ever been. Loud City, right? And when the clock ticked zero and they raised the trophy, you know where you're at if you're watching. Like, strangers, I watched this happen. Strangers are hugging each other, right? Grown men, large, ripped men, shedding tears, right? People yelling at the top of their lungs, like an hour after it happened, yelling loudly and spontaneously, the top of their lungs. And when I say people, I mean me. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Now, over the last 30 years, if you've been in Oklahoma City, I moved here 30 years ago, you know that our city has seen a whole lot of tragedy, a whole lot of pain, a whole lot of loss, macro level, kind of the bombing happening 30 years ago, tornadoes that have swept through, large and small. On basketball tragedies, our best and beloved player, who shall remain nameless, in 2016, cut the legs out of us. Katie! Right? We felt all of that. But on June 22nd, not that it cures ill or heals pain. That's not the point I'm making. But on June 22nd, 2025, victory. Victory. Now listen, today, my goal, my aim is very simple. It's just to make much of God. I'm not going to do a lot of application. It's just going to be primarily exaltation. And I want you to join with me in that. Because in the preaching of the word, there's worship. And I love how you do your liturgy and that there's a response to the word of worship in singing. But Psalms 146 through 150, which is where we're going to be today. Psalms 146 through 150, this is God raising the trophy. And the people go wild. Victory. God be praised. These are called the Hallelujah Psalms. They start and they end with two Hebrew words. Hallel. Yah. Each of the five psalms, bookend, Hallel, Yah. Hallel, praise in the highest praise. Yah, God, Yahweh, the Lord. They're beautiful. And it's not one person praising through, you know, his own journey, his own life, like, bless the Lord, oh my soul. No, no, no. This is the king commanding the people, praise him. Praise him. And if we praise what we enjoy, which we do, if we praise what we love, which we do, if we praise not just a winner, right, but our winner, then God is our ultimate joy. He's our ultimate love. He's our ultimate winner. Jesus wins all the time, every time. So in him, we do too. And we're called to enjoy him and love him and praise him back. The first 145 Psalms, if you know them, if you've read them, they're this amazing compilation, the prayer book of God's people. It's been the prayer book of the people of God through the history of the people of God. It's the broad range of human experience. Every human emotion has been expressed and experienced in these first 145 Psalms. Now, all of these seem to be kind of isolated little caplets of experience related to isolated circumstances. But if you look at the macro of Psalms, right, the 30,000 foot view of the Psalms, they're actually a building of a symphony in five books, moving towards the crescendo, if you will, the grand finale of Psalm 146 through 150. If you will, it's a God's people symphony. One goal: make much of God, lead us into that joy in God. The thunder praise is just a taste of what we get to do in him. In him. And your life, what you brought in here may honestly feel like a bombed out, betrayed city. That's what you may have in your chest or in your circumstances, in your job, your relationship. That's what it may feel like. But what I want you to see is who God is for you. You don't necessarily need five tips for that or five hacks for that or three things for that. Like, you need a vision of God most. Deep calls to deep. That's what we need. I want you to see who God is, what he's done for you, and where the end of the story lands. So five very purposeful movements. Through these five chapters, I'm going to read portions of each psalm. I'm going to talk about its theme briefly, and then we're going to move to the crescendo. This is going to feel a little bit more like a long call to worship than like a sermon. But I think all sermons should be, in some sense, calls to worship. Amen? Amen. All right. So you with me? We're going to look at Psalm 146 first. God rules over all humanity. Psalm 146, starting in verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. So from princes to prisoners, God rules and God redeems. First, let's talk about princes. Who are the princes? Those were tempted to be most afraid of their disapproval, worry about their opinion. Those who have influence, maybe in a broad sense, but really he's talking about those people who have influence in your own heart, in your own life. He's saying, don't trust them. He said, they cannot save and they do not last. God does save and he does last. Princes. Prisoners. Prisoners. He sets free. Did you see it there? He sets prisoners free. Hundreds of millions of times, right? A few of them, dozens in this church, maybe hundreds in this church, right, who have given their heart to Jesus, surrendered their life and said yes to him. You're my Lord. He has set free from the prison of sin and shame and death and hell. And he's unstoppable. God's on the move. He still sets prisoners free. I had this immense joy a couple months ago when, like, after church one Sunday, I got to talk to a guy named Daniel. And Daniel was one of just a handful of people in my life that I've gotten to talk to about Jesus who is just as ripe, more ripe and ready to hear about Jesus and the gospel than anyone. He was almost like, what must I do to be saved? And he was telling me his story. And in his story, what he described is he's heard these voices in his head for his whole life that just said, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine, over and over. He couldn't shake it. He couldn't sleep, tormented. He said it felt like this king who was just like attacking him with rocks all the time. This guy in his 20s. Shared the simple gospel with him. And as he gave his heart and his life to Jesus, he said, yes, Jesus, be my Lord. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you conquered Satan. And as we prayed against those spirits, he said his heart felt peaceful and free and joy for the first time. The Lord still sets prisoners free. These are his words, not mine. So powerful, he said, I feel like I now have a king who wants to skip rocks with me. More, Lord. More of that, Lord. Bring revival of that, Daniel's, Lord. Because that's the Father's heart right there. And he's just giving it without knowing any Bible at all. Why does God get a hallelujah? He still sets us free. Some of you walked into here in a prison of sin, of your own decisions, or some of you who have been sinned against and you feel locked up, locked in prison. I want to encourage you. We're going to have a set of folks up here who are going to pray for people after the service. Like, take a step, take a risk to share with them your story. Just share your story and let them pray for you. Let them fight for you. I'm telling you, you won't regret it. Second movement, Psalm 147, verses 3-6. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble but casts the wicked to the ground. Second movement, God is intimate with our pain and infinite in power. You see that there? He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Intimate. Some of you have a view, a vision of God as far off, as holy, as transcendent, as really big and really great that he created, but know very, very little of him as closer than your skin. He's here, he's near. Through Christ, you can know him. All the struggles and pains and laments about injustice in the Psalms, if you know that, they're expressing everything to God, right? They're bringing their whole story, their whole journey to him, laying it out. All the things that have been complained about in so many of those Psalms, the Lord can heal them all. But here's the message of Psalm 146 through 150 is one day, whatever you've got going on, Christian, whatever you've been laboring under, whatever's been heavy and hard, breaking, made your heart sick, one day, this is our big hope, our greatest hope, one day your broken heart will be completely healed. Completely healed. These psalms are all pointing to that day, the great day, because praise is the exhale of a heart that chooses to hope. Praise is the exhale of a heart that chooses from your gut in the darkness to hope. All your hope in God. If you're in that place, I want to read something else from Psalm 147 that you need to know, and it's that you don't need to have it all together. Verses 10 and 11, his delight is not in the strength of the horse nor in the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. You might wonder, what does God enjoy? I know what I enjoy, but what does God enjoy? Well, there's lots of things in the scriptures that God enjoys, but you see right here, it's not the impressive people. It's not the impressive people. It's those who in the quiet of their hearts, with all its darkness and its doubt and it's fear, and it's angst, and it's confusion, entrust your life to him. He loves that. He shouts over that. He sings over that. That's my son. That's my girl. He's also infinite, not just intimate with us, but infinite. He determines the number of the stars. He calls them each by name. Most stars I've ever seen in my lifetime was at midnight in a northern Minnesota sky. This cascade of a shower of lights. And as God would have it, it was actually the darkest night of my own soul, where I didn't doubt God's existence, but I doubted, deeply, deeply doubted in a crisis of faith kind of moment, his goodness. And not just is he good generally, but is he good to me? Is he good for me? But because everything is shouting, he's not. And in that moment, in the view of his infiniteness, I could deny his goodness, but I could not deny his power, his greatness, his bigness. And by the way, this church nursed me back out of that crisis of faith. And I'm grateful. He's a God of big verbs. Look there at Psalm 147. You look down there, it's really striking. If just make the observation, look at him, all the verbs. He heals, he determines, he gives, he lifts, he casts, he covers the heavens, he prepares, he makes grass grow. Some of you need that help in your yards. He strengthens, he blesses, he makes peace, he fills you, he sends, he gives snow. Yes, Lord, bring snow this winter. I love it. That's the Buckeye in me. Sorry, guys. He scatters frost. He hurls down. He sends out his word. He declares. I don't know about your journey, but I can tell you more than one time I've had to repent for believing and living out of this idea that I'm outworking God in this thing. Like, come on. I'm outworking you in this. Show up. Do something. Here's the truth. I've had to repent. I'm not, and you're not either. We may not see it, but he's always at work. Why does God get a hallelujah? Secondly, he's strong enough to carry you in your trouble. Third movement, God over all creation, he owns it. Everything you see, he owns all of it. Dutch theologian Abraham Kuyper famously said, over every square inch of the universe, God declares, mine. Mine. Read with me. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise the Lord from the earth. You great sea creatures in all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. Someone once called creation the theater of God's magnificence. I think that's pretty spot on. Amen. Psalm 19 tells us what you can see every day. The things you can see are shouting something loudly to you, and it's this. God is glorious. He's glorious. But I don't know about you, but me, in my days, it's just kind of the same old, same old. Man, stupid rain ruined my golf game. Weather, complaining. We're missing the beauty of God, even in the weather, speaking to us. Maybe creation is doing more for us than what we actually notice. Maybe when the leaves blow in the wind, they're clapping praise to God. Maybe a cardinal's unique chirp, and it is a cool, unique chirp. Maybe that chirp is his song to God. Maybe this world is enchanted in ways our cynical scientific brains cannot fathom. Maybe creation isn't on a monotonous loop, but maybe it's more like this. And this is a quote from G.K. Chesterton in his book Orthodoxy. He said this, "But perhaps God is strong enough to exult in monotony. It is possible that God says every morning, 'Do it again,' to the sun, and every evening, 'Do it again,' to the moon. It may not be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but has never got tired of making them. It may be that he has the eternal appetite of infancy. The repetition in nature may not be a mere recurrence. It may be a theatrical encore. Encore. Do it again. The sunrise, the sunset, the mornings you wake, the heaviness. Encore. Encore. Maybe God isn't boring." And if you wonder, is this five-part grand finale, is it just about praising God? Like, where's Jesus in these psalms? And by the way, you should always ask that. Where's Jesus here? Because he's here. He's hidden in plain sight, right in the epicenter of this five-part chorus. Look at verse 14 of Psalm 148. "He has raised up a horn for all his people." Now, the horn in ancient Israel was a physical symbol of victory. It's the trophy. When they would win a battle, they would raise up a bull's horn and they would shout and they would sing and they would blow the trumpets and they would say, "Yes!" Not just thunder praise, but hallelujah! But for us, it's not what the horn is, it's who the horn is. The horn was known as the symbol of the Messianic king and his victory over evil. That's what the horn means in the Old Testament. He's the champion. Jesus is the horn of God. He's the Messianic king who came first to die for our sins and through his resurrection to conquer and to rule. If you trust him, he will save you and he will be your champion. Jesus changes everything. Why does God get a hallelujah? Thirdly, because he's raised up a horn for his people. That's us. Fourth movement, God over his people. "Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats." Most of you don't know me, but in my lifetime, no one has ever said to me these words, "John's a really good dancer." Zero times. And that's appropriate. It's not pretty. My wife can testify. She could stand up right now and say, "He's a horrible dancer. It's awful. Just shouldn't experience. You may go blind if you see him dance." But you know, most of you are like me. Some of you, you know, you're dancers, you love it. But most average people don't like to dance publicly. Why? Because to dance publicly requires unself-consciousness, complete lack of fear of man. You don't give a rip. You just don't care. What would cause a too cool for school person to dance publicly? Well, it's in the text. Verse 3. "Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre." Why? Why go crazy? for, and that word means because. Because the Lord takes pleasure in his people, he adorns the humble with salvation. We're not doing Sunday school Ned Flanders Christianity around here. I showed my age with that reference. I get that. This is the kind of wildness and craziness of the love of the Father through the death of the Son, his resurrection, and the giving of the Holy Spirit. Are you kidding me? Because he takes pleasure in us. I know me. I don't deserve that kind of joy and pride and love. And yet, Zephaniah says he sings over us with joy. He serenades us. He quiets us with his love. Amazing. If you've put your faith in Jesus, he enjoys you. And some of you are being drawn. I just feel this thread of a burden to say to those who are here and not a Christian, you are being wooed by the love of God. You don't have to like jump over hurdles or be good enough. What do you do when you're wooed by someone greater than you, a love greater than you? You just respond. You just say yes. If that's you, just say yes. His delight in us tears down all of our defenses. This may be the linchpin question of life for you right now. In your sin, your brokenness, your failures, does God still enjoy me? Does he still love me? In the quiet places where you actually have non-task-driven thoughts, the truth of the scripture is the answer, the resounding answer is yes. Live beloved. And by the way, that's something a career or a relationship or, yes, a basketball team or winning can't do for you permanently. Maybe a little bit, but not permanently. Only an unchanging, resurrected king can do that. Define your life, give you meaning and purpose, and a reason to learn to love people. Why does God get a hallelujah? Fourth, he's the fountainhead of all joy. And this fifth movement, we're going to do something that preachers typically don't do. I want this reading of scripture to be the conclusion of my message. When a king comes into the room, we always talk about when a king comes into the room. What do you do when a king comes into a room? You stand. So I want you guys to stand with me because we are going to let the high praises of God be in our throats. He gets all the glory, not to us, not to Bridgeway, not to me, not to you, not to us be the glory, but to your name give glory. So I want to close this by reading Psalm 150 as a call to worship. And then we are going to sing to God together. Psalm 150 is this beautiful description of all in praise. All in. And listen, it's the way all of heaven is praising God right now. All in. And so what I want to do is I actually want to read Revelation 5, what the worship of heaven looks like, feels like, sounds like, the dynamics of it, just to get it into your hearts and allow the abundance of your heart to sing out the high praises of God. So Revelation 5, then Psalm 150, and then we'll sing to God. If you want to close your eyes, if you want to roam about the cabin, if you want to kneel, whatever you want to do in this place to posture yourself to worship the king, because he's here in the room. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. From every tribe and language and people and nation, and you've made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. So, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound, with lute and harp, with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.